Our first lesson is taken from 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 to 11, and verse 16. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1 to 11, and verse 16. Let's hear the word of God. God's promise to David. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people, Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now, I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forevermore before me. Your throne will be established forever." Here ends the reading of the first lesson.
Our second reading is taken from Romans 16, 25 to 27. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Shall we hear the word of God? "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the ministry hidden for so long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen."
Please shall we rise for the gospel reading. Our gospel reading is taken from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 26 to 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. Let us hear the word of God. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I would like us to use stanza 4 of the hymn we have just sung as our prayer. "Vainly we lift." Yes. "Vainly we offer each ample oblation." Let's sing it as our prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we lift our hearts to you this morning. We come because we cannot bribe you, Lord, nor can we pay for the good things you do for us. But we come as children, relying on your word. And your word is that you will gather us together for as long as we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, your Son, our Savior, will be in the midst of us. So we are here, and you, through your Son, are in the midst of us. That in itself is the miracle of the day, and we want to thank you for that. And so, Lord, speak to us, touch us, breathe upon us where we need life, smile upon us where we need encouragement and upliftment. Pinch us where we need to do the right things. Cajole us, O Lord, into doing the things that we know to be good. Most of all, Lord, reveal your glory to us this morning, because we have come in your glorious presence. Thank you that you know each need, and thank you that you're willing to meet each need. We give you praise and we give you glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, it's a joy to be here once again on Sunday, and I feel particularly privileged and honored to be the one through whom the Lord will speak to us. It's amazing. Where did the days go? I'm still thinking. But isn't that one of the impossible things God does? That the days will fly and we would be alive. I was talking to some people and each person is sharing a testimony of the impossible things that God does. But actually, we are living testimonies. I don't know how you breathe. Because I know you're not always going to take in breath. It comes naturally. You miss it when you're not able to do it. When some dreadful cold attacks you, then you know that you live. Because nothing is impossible for God. If you're like me, you had besetting sins, and you did not think you would ever overcome them. And then God spoke and acted. And you can sense the freedom from that besetting sin. Perhaps you had problems. Those that no man, no woman could help you solve. And it's not that your prayers are like the prayers of Mr. Anavyosi, Kojo Hagen, Kojo Hayford. But you prayed that simple prayer, stuttering, and God heard. And now you're walking with freedom. Is that not one of the all things are possible with God? That with God, nothing is impossible. Every day is a testimony of the fact that with God, nothing is impossible. But our reading today, the one from Luke, is particularly instructive. Now, today, if the angel Gabriel came and spoke to us, we would remember our lessons in biology. We would remember philosophy lessons we have had in the university. We will tell the angel Gabriel he doesn't know anything about what is happening. A girl getting pregnant without a man. We would have argued. We would not have seen it as the continuation of God's miracles. Sometimes I wonder, where does the sun really rise? We've been told that it rises from the east and sets. Where? West and east. It sets in the west. You see? Now, where is the east? And where is the west? Is it a flower or axim? What we know is that each morning is there. Sometimes so beautiful, the colors of the sky reveal that God is a master artist. Yeah, science says it rises from the east, and we believe it. But God says, I do things my way. I do things my way. And most of the things I do, says the Lord, are things that are really impossible for man to wrap his puny mind around. Now this phrase, nothing is impossible with God, is a wonderful truth. And as believers, we can all attest to that. In fact, not because of the Bible we study alone, but every day is an experience for us. Because God's eternal light shines on us every day. Yesterday, I was just contemplating the virgin birth and the fact that Mary and Joseph, I don't know who became the midwife, but it wouldn't surprise me that Joseph himself was the midwife. But what touched me, you know, it was a sudden illumination that God is such a wonderful God. Can you imagine the loneliness of this couple? Yes, Joseph came from Nazareth. It came from Bethlehem. But he probably hadn't visited it for a long time. In fact, if he had been going there frequently, perhaps there would have been a place for him to sleep. But there they were, Nazarites, in a cave where animals are kept, going through the mystery as well as the trauma of a first childbirth. And what does God do? He speaks to shepherds, and they go and visit. So they are not that lonely. In fact, the shepherds go there, and they tell them, God has told us that you're here, and we've come to worship. So God breaks through our loneliness with impossible doings. He breaks through our difficulties with impossible doings. Now, we know that it is true that God does impossible things. But you know, these days, the charlatans trumpet them every day. In fact, they are like magicians turned preachers. They do abracadabra. There are many wolves disguised as sheep who use God's hope in a bait to switch God's schemes. They promise deliverance. They give only another form of bondage. They put us in emotional shackles. In fact, some of them make us believe that without their prayers, there's no way the situation will become better. And don't worry, they quote, if you come through me, nothing is impossible with God. Sometimes I hear some of them on radio and I'm saying, is it real? Is it a human being talking? But then there are several human beings who fall into the trap. These people con us. They deliver motivational speeches. They tell us to name it and claim it. They use a lot of cliches. Some of them so puerile, we wonder why we even believe. But this is all because we live in a world that reveals every day the impossible made possible by God. The other day we heard that, two years or so, there was a tsunami in Japan. Is it 10 years ago? No. Today is 10 years? No, it's much less than that. It's 5 years. Okay, whatever. There was a tsunami. Whether Jonah swallowed the whale or the whale swallowed Jonah, there was a swallow. So whether it is several years ago or it is not too far away, there was a tsunami. But look at the impossible things God did in that tsunami. Some people stayed alive. It was an earthquake plus a tsunami. But people lived. People lived. Because this our God, whose name is Jehovah, is the one who actually determines the affairs of men. Start from Genesis and see the impossible. The earth came about from a word. The sea came about because God spoke. Trees came because he spoke. Animals came because he spoke. And then he actually took clay and molded and breathed into this molded clay, and a human being came. God does the possible things that we think are impossible. Now, I'd like us to take a step back into history and be in the shoes of Mary. First, would you recognize an angelic visitation? Oh, your mind will say you're hallucinating. In fact, you'll be so frightened, you'll probably pull your your sheets over your head as if God cannot come through the sheets. But one thing that Mary teaches us, she truly believed. Her sight of the visitation, her experience of it, shows that she knew scripture. She understood God's wondrous doings and knew that indeed God had spoken that in time a virgin shall conceive. What is your faith like? Do you have the kind of faith that will take God at his word? Or your faith is the one mixed with philosophizing? A faith mixed with the knowledge of man. We read the scriptures and we don't quite believe what is being written, because we live in a world that says seeing is believing. It should be the other way around. You see in the spirit because it is real. But Mary teaches us that indeed we need to live in that state of mind which says God, who created the world and who is still in charge of it, still breaks through the affairs of men and women and does things that we may not think possible. But you see, God is not a God who also dazzles us without helping us to appreciate what is happening. The angel Gabriel even told Mary, don't worry, your relative Elizabeth, you know, is pregnant. Even though people said she couldn't be. Just to let Mary know that, you know what I'm telling you, about your being pregnant by the Holy Spirit and bearing the Christ child is something that God can do. Because you can actually see it feely-feely in Elizabeth. And what did Mary do? She actually visited. She visited Elizabeth. Because we need to live out our faith. We need to experience what God says he's doing. We're living in a world where every time you turn on the news, it's about violence. Incredible violence. I mean, you cannot believe that in the 21st century, some people in the name of religion would actually decapitate another person, take a photograph of it, and show it on the net with some threatening words. But it is happening. Even more frightening is what young people are doing. Doing hanky-panky, photographing it, and wanting the rest of us to see it. Where did dignity go? Why would you want to shame somebody you've been intimate with? Aside of that, why would anybody take a selfie of a naked body and plant it on the so-called internet? We're living through times when we need to believe God. He says a time will come when that the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Sometimes we feel that the message of the gospel is not making enough impact. But this is where the impossibilities of God come into play. This is when we also find out that there are many young people who still believe in God and are living for him. Just like God told Elijah that 7,000 people had been preserved from bowing to Baal and kissing the idols. So even in these threatening times, God is still doing the impossible. He's preserving many lives, ours included. Many lives that believe in the truths of God. Because that is what is going to prevail. Because a time is coming when God will physically enter his world again. Jesus will come and he will judge. But he will have many people who are his. People that cannot be counted who are his. So the message of salvation, impossible as it sounds now to 21st century ears, will be made possible by God. Those who lived in Mary's time would not have believed, and they still did not believe Mary when she said it is the Holy Spirit who had made her pregnant. But you see, she lived to fulfill what God had said. You also, I also need to live to fulfill the message that has been entrusted to us. That message of reconciliation, impossible as it sounds. And the message of reconciliation is that the offended God has taken the initiative to reconcile man to himself. And that he is doing it in the way that man would be able to deal with. He's coming as a human being. He's coming into our world to speak to us. Some people still do not think Jesus lived. They call themselves Christians. In fact, some people think as for the Virgin Mary, you know. I know a pastor, I read about a pastor, he himself wrote it. He said that he didn't believe in the virgin birth. But you know, God is such a wonderful God. His sense of humor is excellent. So he goes to Bible school and his supervisor gives him an assignment. He's supposed to write a 20-page assignment on the virgin birth. And God being so good, the day he presented his thesis, he shouted, "I now believe." I don't know what you are also going through. Maybe for you, all this talk about some peasant girl who lived in, we don't even know whether Nazareth still exists, who lived in some Middle Eastern country, you know, is the one who has borne our Savior. It's difficult for us to comprehend. But today, God is speaking to you specially. He's saying there are many things in his word that are finding difficulty in entering your spirit, even though you claim to belong to him. But today, he's saying there's release. There's total release. Because the Spirit of God, who is even greater than Gabriel, will speak into our hearts and break down the impossible things for us to actually experience. But it depends on us. It depends on you. It depends on me. Will I give him a chance? Or will I still hold on to my beliefs? God wants a chance to break through our beliefs so that he will give us his truths. The door of opportunity is open. Like Mary, we can humbly say, "Lord, you know something? I don't understand what you're saying. I can't even fathom it. But you know, I am merely your servant. As a servant, I'm only supposed to do what you say. And so I'm your servant. You do what you say you will do. Not even help me to understand it, but you do what you say you will do." And I know I'll be able to deal with it. That is what we should be doing this Christmas. God is saying it is a time of giving. The circumstances are saying we live in difficult times. There's no money. But God is saying, in your time of difficulty, give to others. It will cost you something, but do it anyway. God is saying that he has come to reconcile us to himself. So God is saying in this season, those obnoxious people in your family and in your circle of friends who, you know, you want to be nice, but they don't make it possible for you to be nice. Just when you're doing it, they'll say something and needle you. But God is saying, take the initiative as I did and as I do all the time. Reconcile with the person. Don't make your feet like lead, difficult to move. Just decide that you will do it and that it is God's possibilities that will make you succeed. Some people owe you, and they're giving excuses that, you know, Christmas, this, that, but you need to pay your bills. The bank is after you. This is the time of the impossible. Well, if the people are really in need, God will give you favor with a bank. If the people are really in need. But perhaps all you need to do is to give them a word. A word that makes them recognize that they too should pay their bills, as you do. Today is a day of God's possibilities because nothing is impossible for him. Today, we can pray for a turnaround of Ghana's situation. When we say corruption, we are not talking alone of money's changing hands, but the more insidious fact that the nation's moral standing is being eroded. It is getting rotten. Because isn't corruption about rottenness? Something decaying. So the society's moral standards are decaying. When something decays, it gets lost. And so when we talk corruption, it is not because somebody chopped money alone, but that mindset that would make us forget all the values that are good. And it is this impossible thing that you and I should be praying about and expecting God to intervene. That the society will begin once again to live by values. Good values. That is what you and I should be not only praying about, but living. Because you plus the Holy Spirit, I plus the Holy Spirit, we form the majority. And we can do great and awesome things. But what we need to say is, behold, I'm your handmaiden. Let it be according to your word. Shall we pray? Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay,
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we are only praying back your words in Revelation 3:20. You say you stand at the door of our hearts, knocking. And that if any one of us opens the door, not only will you come in, but you will actually come and share intimacy. You will sup, you will eat. That intimate act of sharing communion. That is what you say you will do. And that's why we say, come in, Lord Jesus. Come in and stay. Come in and change us, transform us. Make us know that everything you do is a miracle, and therefore it is an impossibility made possible. Everything about us is a grand miracle, culminating in the grandest of miracles, you becoming man. We want to thank you. This Christmas, fill us with a knowledge of yourself. Let your glory be seen all around us. May people be drawn to you because of us. May your gospel go forth. May everyone who has opportunity to use the pulpit or the radio or some sing song speak the truth of your being made man and living and saving and justifying and sanctifying. We thank you and we bless you, Lord Jesus. We have prayed to the Father through you, as you say we should. And therefore, we are confident that you have heard our prayers. We bless you. Amen.